I will call this meeting of the Children and Families Committee to order. Silence! That was fun. All right. All right, yeah, my days of being power mad are waning, unfortunately, but they're not over yet. So, do we have a motion on the minutes for which one? March 8th, 2025?
April? So moved, Chair.
Or April, yeah, the one time I read the script.
So moved, Chair.
April 8th, okay. Vice Chair Hansen moved the minutes from April 8th, 2025. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion prevails and the minutes are adopted. The next item on our agenda is the Omnibus Bill, House File 2436, the moment we've all been waiting for. I will move House File 2436 before our committee to be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. And then I will also move the DE1 amendment and then run up front and turn over the gavel to Representative Olson.
When you're the chair, you can't have all the candy.
That's okay. I'll do that. All right, we'll be well. It'll be great.
All right, Mr. Chair, you have moved the DE1. Do we have any member discussion on the DE1 amendment? Seeing none.
Well, we right. Move into it. Do not.
We have a lot of amendments. Seeing no member discussion, we now have the amendment
before us.
All right. I will just recognize you, Mr. Chair.
There are a series of amendments I see to this DE amendment that need to be considered prior to voting on the DE amendment. Starting with mine, House File A13. Amendment A13. These are some technical changes to the bill as suggested. Which originally I'm like, we don't have time to review these, and then I'm like, these are not that hard to review. So,
wonderful.
Without
so you're
further
move
ado,
the...
are there any discussion to the A13?
Perfect. Chair West moves A13. Any discussion to the A13 amendment? Chair Katiza Watoon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would support this author's amendment. And it just adds some technical assistance, as the chair said. So would appreciate support to get the bill in the shape that the chair and I would like.
Perfect. Any further discussion to the amendment to the DE? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All right, there we go. All opposed, it was everyone. It seemed like it was unanimous. I saw everyone's mouth move. Perfect. All right, the next one. We'll pull the A14. Representative Nelson, would you like to move this amendment?
Yes, I would like to move the A14. It's a COLA bill, and I'll move the A14.
Is there any discussion to the A14 to the DE? Chair West.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The A14 amendment includes a House file we intended to include it from Representative Peggy Scott that changes the way that child support COLAs are evaluated. And I believe we have agreement that we intended to put this in the bill, and I would encourage member support.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed? The amendment is adopted. And now we will move on to the A20 amendment. Representative Katiza Watoon, or Chair Katiza Watoon, would you like to move that amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And members, Chair West and I have agreed upon this language. It was still undergoing a little bit of negotiation, so it was passed the amendment deadline yesterday, but it is one where we have jointly waived the amendment deadline. And what this does is for any of the remaining IT modernization funds not related to the SSIS modernization that were allocated to the department in 2023. It was a $20 million allotment. What remains in that account after this budget proposal and down the line tightens up the direction to the department such that we actually make a little bit more progress moving toward our goals. So I would appreciate support.
Chair West.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Chair Cutis-Batun. This is a good amendment that we work together on, and sometimes we just need to help the department know what they should really spend their money on. We're happy to provide that assistance.
Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor of adopting the amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The amendment is adopted. Moving on, we have the A3 amendment. Representative Sensenmayer, would you like to move the A3?
Yes, thank you, Chair, and really want to thank Chair West for his work on this. So this amendment is in relation to a bill that Chair West brought before the committee earlier this session regarding ensuring that individuals who are being investigated for potential child abuse or accessing or creating child pornography specifically should not be working in childcare centers, which is something that I know this committee very, very much agrees on. Chair West took the bill to Judiciary Committee, and through work with both DHS and the BCA, the bill has changed significantly. Through that work and through research, we found that the federal database, which was talked about in this committee, which tips off individuals who are accessing or creating, individuals who are accessing or creating child pornography, there are some federal regulations that actually prohibit us from being able to access that database to then have that database talk to DHS to say those individuals who are being investigated should not be working in our child care centers. So what this language does is it gets the data that the BCA does have around who is being arrested for crimes to better talk to DHS and their system of doing background studies. So what this amendment would do would say that an individual who has undergone a background study to be able to work in a child care center, their fingerprints would be retained by the BCA for 5 years. And then if those individuals were arrested for certain crimes that are disqualifying, these crimes are, I would say, very severe crimes like murder, child abuse. There's a number of other ones outlined in the bill. Then DHS would be alerted and would be able to take the necessary kind of licensing steps to remove those individuals. We did talk to the chairs of, I think, both Judiciary and Public Safety, and I think they have some concerns and would like to further work on this language and potentially hear the bill within their committee. I will also say that, you know, I've had talks with numerous members who have concerns around what it would mean for the BCA to be retaining these fingerprints. And so I think at this time the plan is to withdraw this amendment for now. We have commitment from a lot of I think the right people and the right agencies to continue to work on this, but I don't believe that we are ready to take action on it at this time. So I would like to withdraw that amendment with the commitment to Chair West and members of this committee that we will keep working on it and try to bring in some folks from Judiciary and Public Safety who also need to be a part of the conversation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Representative West, did you have a comment you wanted to make?
Yes. Thank you, Representative Sensenmayer, for making it to meetings that I was horrifically late to. Your contributions to getting this at least to the point where we can start to dream of the finish line, we're greatly appreciated. And it's going to be a top priority that we are going to get through. It's going to have a lot of stops, so next year we are going to have to go to a lot of committees, but it is a good bill that moves us in the right direction. I wish we could include it and just ram things through, but, you know, we're supposed to follow proper procedure here and such. So we have another series of amendments. Part of our signed agreement that we had between Chair Cutis-Batun and I had a discussion of MAFPA was on the agenda. We couldn't really decide on language that we both agreed to within the bill, and we did not necessarily agree to include language, but we agreed there should be an amendment to the that brings up MAFPA for discussion of the committee because it's incredibly important issue.
Mr. Chair.
Please continue, Mr. Chair. Officially, Representative Sensenmayer withdraws her amendment. Please continue.
Is that all you were going to say?
Yes.
All right, we have...
Sorry for the interruption.
Generally, unless Coulter, Representative Coulter is roll-calling amendments, we have a great time in this committee. So, I just wanted to preface that, that this next amendment was something we at least wanted to have a discussion about today.
Perfect. And with that, we will... So, Senator Mira, Representative Senator Mira has withdrawn her amendment. We will now move on to the A4 amendment. Representative Zalesnikar, would you like to move that amendment?
Thank you, Chair, and thank you. The A4 amendment, and I would like to ask for a roll call on this. This is a really important amendment. The Minnesota African American Family Preservation Child Care Disproportionality Act, what this does is simply allow for us to delay further 2027, and that we have the 7 county metro area then for 2028, and then it lists it so it would go to 2029 for then the entire state. So I think what's important with this is that the Hennepin County and Ramsey County are included right now, but they were funded. And so this will give us time to fund and to look for money, because we need to find money to match the county's responsibilities to fulfill what Hennepin County and Ramsey County are doing to fulfill the requirements of this. It had a budget allocation, which we need time to get that settled for the other parts of the state. So that's what this amendment is for, members.
Representative Nelson.
Thank you, Chair. Got to think of who this is over here, Chair Olson. to this amendment, I think as we look at what the goal is under MAFPA, it's something that we need to be working towards. It's really providing a higher level of service, and that's something that I think is the goal really across all agencies, across all individuals that are whether caseworkers or whatever, really trying to really give a better level of attention and care to each situation they work with, each individual. And there's some concern. We heard some from the Commissioner Brown yesterday that there's some possibilities of what the level of service is going to be required, whether it's an absolute on switch on January 1st to 2027, or whether there has to be a plan moving forward that there's going to be areas of implementation and not requiring 100%. But it's something that the goal that we need to be working towards is what is outlined under the MAFPA bill. But there's some concerns with the cost and everything else that our counties are working through, and they want to be there, but they're getting a lot of constraints as well. And also when we couple that with currently our SSIS system, if that were up to date and running at the level that we're hoping to get with the funding that is in this bill, a lot more of the active effort will be easier to attain with that. And so it's not completely putting one before the other, but this is kind of a merging them somewhat slowly. And I think that's the importance of making sure that there's a delay in it. And it's not getting rid of it, but it's really, I'm not sure if we're ready for it today. So I would encourage a yes vote on this. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Further discussion, Representative Hicks.
Thank you so much. It's just started in the metro, and I was really excited to hear from the commissioner about the plan for the work group. And I really trust that Ramsey and Hennepin and the work group will bring back suggestions that are necessary to make this a successful rollout. I think the department is committed to this being a successful rollout. I am also committed to it being a successful rollout. And we have until January of 2027. So if next year that we think that there are some things that need to be changed or tweaked or timelines based on some of that feedback, I'm open to have those conversations, but this seems premature given the information we have and what we don't have, frankly. Given the information we don't have yet, this seems premature to me. As I've shared in this committee, I have a large family, many of which was through foster care. And I want to be really clear, people who adopt from foster care don't, it is grief, it is loss. Something horrible and awful has happened that now I raise other people's children. And the weight of that sits with me every single day. And the legislation that we passed last year, the goal of that legislation is to make sure that we are not moving to that place until we absolutely have to. And to make sure that kinship families and grandmas and aunties and neighbors and friends and people who are chosen family for kids are given a fair shake at an opportunity to stay in that child's life and create a meaningful bond. It is just rolling out, and there may be changes that we need to make. But I think we need to give the department and the counties and the families that are working through this process the opportunity to bring that to us instead of making unilateral decisions before we hear from them. So I'm going to be a no today, even though my county is one of the counties outside of the 7-county metro that this would affect. I'm going to be a no today because I do think it's time. We need to give it time. We need to hear from the people experiencing it, the people who are producing the reports, and the people who are part of the program before we make any decisions.
Further discussion, Representative Altendorf.
Thank you, Chair Olson. And I just have a quick question, and I'm not sure who can answer it. It's maybe Chair Cattuzzo-Ladoon or Chair West. But we're funding in this bill, so the SSIS, and when is it predicted that that would be up and functioning, the new system? So I'd like that answered first.
Representative West.
I actually think the department might be, if they are here, I think that would be a wonderful question for them to answer.
What a great opportunity to answer a question.
I just wanted Jennifer to come sit next to me, though. I mean, Ms. Sommerfeld.
It's okay.
Please state your name for the record, and we'd love your answer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members, Jennifer Sommerfeld, Department of Children, Youth, and Families. We don't have an exact date. I think we've talked about this a little bit in the past. We don't have a full plan yet from the consultant that we've hired to come in and lay out a roadmap with timing for us. So we can't give an exact timeline on when we'll be completed. Having more money available to us to keep going at a consistent pace will help us move things a lot more quickly, but we should have more information for you once that consultant has finished their work. And I'll note, we talked about this, I think, before, but just to reiterate, we did hire a consultant, and that consultant did not work out, so we had to kind of start that over again, and we do have somebody in now that is going to be doing that work for us. So we expect it to move, the roadmap to move quickly over the next handful of months.
Any further discussion? Representative Nadeau.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I also think this is a reasonable amendment to vote for. And I'm going to start by saying that the counties didn't come and ask for this, and I don't think the counties needed this act in order to try to make sure that we're properly placing kids in foster care and working hard to ensure that we're moving those kids to the proper placements that they need to be. But that's beside the point for the reason that I'm speaking in favor of this amendment. I want to bring into play the fact that what's happening in Health and Human Services and the impact that counties are looking at right now. They're looking at massive shifts in costs going on to county. They're looking at massive workload increases. And I think that something like this, that as Hennepin and Ramsey have begun rolling this out, there's going to be best management practices that are going to be, really important to other counties. And I think it's a good roadmap to use. I think it's a reasonable delay to put in place that allows our counties to maybe, you know, be able to prioritize some of the things that some of the other community, some of the other committees are imposing on them this session. So I would recommend that this is, you know, putting this, this small delay in is not going to stop the work. People are going to continue to move forward, but I think we have to recognize the impact that we're having on counties, and it is profound. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
So we are going to go to a follow-up that Representative Altendorf wished to have. So, Ms. Sommerfeld, be careful. You might have to come back to the testifier table.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I guess the comment I wanted to make is we do want to do this right. This is our responsibility. You know, we are supposed to be passing laws that we can do and then not having additional unintended consequences. When I have talked to my counties, they are having problems with workforce. They are having problems with retention, specifically related to the SSIS system. And this is a huge concern. So, you know, even if we could talk about, maybe we could, but verbally amending this to the start of pushing this back to when the SSIS system is up and functioning, because we can't continue to put more and more on a system that's already failing. So it's not about the desire to do this. It is that we are not setting ourselves up for success, and that is wrong, members. We should be setting ourselves up in a system instead of putting more on a system that we all know is crashing, it's outdated, and that is costing the counties a lot of money in retention and in workforce. So I would strongly recommend that we vote for this amendment or have a strong discussion about amending or changing this amendment to that we cannot implement more on our counties until we have an SSIS system that is truly functioning. Thank you.
Further discussion to the amendment, Representative McDonald.
As if we haven't discussed this enough already, right, Mr. Chair? Well, thank you. Just my 2 cents. I'm only one vote of 14. I did too hear from our counties as well. And the bill was a good bill. I voted for it. And what Representative Hicks said is very important. What people said on the House floor at that time was a very important dialogue. But we have a kind of a knee-jerk reaction here at the Capitol, I've noticed over the 15 years I've been here, in trying to solve a problem. And we did a good job at that. But there are unintended consequences, and we hear that slope, unintended consequences. We hear that often because as lawmakers, we want to solve the problem quickly and put it into law and without thought sometimes of some of those consequences. You know, MNLARS, MNSURE, MNIT, we do have a history, ladies and gentlemen, of these unintended consequences that cost monies and delays and implementations and hardships throughout the years. That's a history. Unfortunately, we're human. We err. And this is one of those unintended consequences that are costing us, costing our counties money and time and FTEs, personnel. They don't have it, especially with that Mississippi, I call it Mississippi, SSIS, if you spell that fast enough, right? That's a long-flowing software that needs update. We all know it. But I hope you don't have your mind set up, my friends on the other side of the aisle, or actually we're on the same aisle, right? On both sides, to adopt Representative Zelensikar's amendment for just delaying the implementation. We have a history of not doing it right because we're so quick to act because we want to solve the problems. And just from old McDonald advice, I think it would be prudent that we delay this for another couple of years and work on this issue so it's not costing our counties more time and money. So all my advice, take it as you want it. I know how I'm going to vote, but I think your counties, especially metro outside state, would appreciate it immensely. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any further discussion? Chair Katiza-Watoon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Chair West and I really did want to bring this up in front of committee. We didn't hear any MAFPA proposals during regular hearings this session, and I think that it's definitely worth consideration and discussion. And I think, you know, we brought up SSIS. While we have broad bipartisan agreement here in the House that we should be fully funding the state portion of SSIS, we do have to jostle potentially with the other body, and hopefully that we come out at the end of session with a fully funded SSIS system so that the department can continue to do the important work of implementation. But just want to remind folks of that we are still at the very beginning stages of budget negotiations. I also wanted to flag that I've had some additional conversation with the author of the MAFPA bill, Representative Esther Agbaje. She has, you know, confirmed with me that the focus group that is meeting between all of the counties and with Hennepin folks and Ramsey folks who are actually working on this implementation right now. I am a Hennepin County legislator, so my county is one of the two counties that are being impacted by this implementation currently. And so, you know, just a reminder that other counties are going to benefit from the work that Hennepin and Ramsey are doing now. They were given a very small amount of money to help them with this implementation process, $2.5 million each between Hennepin and, $2.5 for Hennepin, $2.5 for Ramsey. And at this point, they are looking down the line at what 100% implementation looks like. But because we are still almost two full years away, and because this task force or focus group, whatever we want to call it, is meeting, and they're going to be able to build off of that work over the next year, year and a half, 2 years before implementation begins. And because we got a little bit of clarification yesterday from the commissioner that it is unlikely that it would go from 0% implementation to 100% overnight for the counties outside of Hennepin and Ramsey, I think, Mr. Chair, if you're okay with it, I would request that we withdraw this amendment and continue our discussion into next year.
Mr. Chair, since your name has been invoked, would you like to respond?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Chair Katiz-Wattoon. Yeah, this is a really important conversation, and one of the things that I learned yesterday is how many people are confused about it across all spectrum. I thought that the commissioner was going to offer some clear guidance, and it was not clear at all. And I've heard multiple different interpretations of it, which is really concerning. However, if something's going to become law, we need broad support. But I will defer to Representative Zeleznikar on her amendment.
Any further discussion before we recognize the author of the amendment? Seeing none, Representative Zeleznikar.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Chair, I guess. this amendment, you know, really is just about the complexities of where we're at with financial funding. And because this goes into effect on January 27, of 2027, and it's 2025, I am comfortable in a good faith effort that this will be worked on in the same measurement as the A3 before Representative Sensenmura withdrew. That bill I also feel is passionate about, that we have to have it right. And so I am comfortable, because it is 2025, that this committee, continues with this conversation to ensure that our counties are not strapped with a financial liability that they cannot endure in 2027, and that the funding that is necessary for this, because I've had many counties reach out to me, and it's millions to implement this in greater Minnesota, and they do not have the resources. And so we have time to get this right, and I'm willing to do that if this committee is 100% committed to do that on behalf of outside of that seven metro county area that received funding, because they too would struggle if they didn't have funding. I do not want that to happen, to have the money get transferred down to the counties and then to have property taxes go up for everybody across the state. So we cannot do that, or we're just creating other issues. And so we need to get this right. And with that agreement from the members in this body, I'm willing to do that since it's 2025, and I will withdraw. Thank you.
Representative Zeleznikar withdraws the A4 amendment. We will now move on to the A6 amendment. Representative Hemmingsen-Yeager, would you like to move this amendment?
Yes, please, Chair.
All right. To your amendment, Representative.
Thank you. Okay, the A6. All right, so I appreciate the attention and the appropriation for the food shelves, the tribal sovereignty, and prepared meals. And I just kind of want to draw your attention to page 33 of one of the packets we got. You'll see an excellent letter from the North Country Food Bank. And just kind of want to raise up again that food banks are also a really important part of our food ecosystem. Again, they act as a wholesaler. They help with logistics. They help with the transportation of food. And I think that they're a really important part of addressing the hunger crisis, which has been even more exacerbated by our recent federal cuts. This amendment is for $500,000 to food banks that have an annual operating budget of less than $100 million. And again, it kind of specifies, too, that it will be distributed free of charge to TFAT partner agencies for the handling and delivery fees, so basically no charge to the food shelves. My last kind of thing is, you know, I just want to kind of lift up that while there's some stuff happening outside of this, I still think it's important to do what we can to keep our ecosystem intact at all levels.
Any discussion to the amendment? Representative West.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Hemmingson-Yeager, for bringing the A6 amendment. This amendment was not in a signed agreement in our negotiations, so I would discourage its adoption. I would, however, point out we did pass out a Representative Myers food bill into Ways and Means, which there is room in that for the budget outside of this committee, so there should be more food money there. And I believe the Agriculture Committee is also working on additional food money. So this $1.5 million that's in the underlying DE amendment is not the only money that is going to be going to food.
Any further discussion of the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say nay.
No.
The amendment does not pass. All right. Next, we will move on to the A12 amendment. A11, I am sorry. I shuffled the piece of paper prematurely. Representative Perez-Vega, is this your amendment? Would you like to move it?
Yes, it is, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move forward with the A11 amendment.
Perfect. To your amendment.
This is the in regards to supplemental nutrition assisted outreach program. We're talking about SNAP, $500,000 in fiscal year of 2026. The impact towards SNAP outreach is a necessity, and not just within my district, but I've spoken to several of your constituents and throughout the state regarding what this looks like, where we're seeing federal funds freeze up and folks that are uncertainty of even how that works. So this is really about communication and communicating the advocacy alongside with workforce. I heard in this committee from Representative Altendorf, who spoke about speaking with the counties, that said that there's shortages of workforce. And this is an opportunity where our communities could have the support for workforce to do the outreach. We're talking about an opportunity to have a federal match alongside with these funds. And that's not something that you're hearing a lot in the news these days. And so when we talk about there's $500,000, you get up to a match on that, to have workforce, to be able to have accessibility for folks, that there's one in five Minnesotan households who are right now living with food insecurities, I want to just kind of talk about what that means, and also the limited access in rural communities that don't have accessibilities. Whether you speak English, whether you speak Spanish, whether you speak a certain language that, I've spoken with folks that their first language is English and they don't speak a different language, and they need help filling out these packets that are going to be resourceful to feed not only their mouths that are working, but their children that they're giving birth to. And so I just ask for folks to have a little sensibility here when we're talking about how, yeah, we want to feed folks. And that's number one, that and I appreciate that that's being included. But in order to get that food to the families, okay, you need to provide that workforce avenue to be connected to that. So I don't want to go more forth on that and the impact. Families need food. People need food. Inflation is creating a dominance around my district and yours. And I just have a sense of respect for those that have dedicated their time, whether it is working to the county, whether it is the county providing opportunities for the organizations that are giving the food shelves and volunteering some time, because time is valuable. And time takes away from maybe your other job, or maybe you don't have a job, and this is your access to be able to have a job, to do something good and bring something back to each Minnesotan that is in need of this food. So with that, you know, I that's why I'm offering this A11 amendment here, because I see the impact that it does, and I've heard from the families, and I've heard from the folks that want to take the opportunity to give those foods to those families.
Any further discussion to the amendment? I recognize the chair, Chair West.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Perez-Vega, for bringing this amendment. I will note for anybody watching today, there is base funding for the SNAP outreach program, even though there is no increase in this bill. But as with the previous amendment, since this is not in our signed agreement, I would urge members not to support this amendment.
Back to Representative Perez-Vega for closing comments, unless someone else has a comment. No one else. To you, Representative Perez-Vega.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, just highlighting the fact that when there's funds there to be matched, that helps. There's funds at the federal level. We're not going to hear that a lot. So just go to sleep with that, knowing that there's funds there that we're ignoring. And with that being said, it's been noted that I will withdraw the amendment.
Representative Perez-Vega withdraws the A11 amendment. On to the A12 amendment. This is Representative Perez-Vega as well. Would you please move your amendment and then speak to it?
I have decided I'm going to move it to withdraw it, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Would you like to speak to it?
No further.
Perfect. Representative Perez-Vega withdraws the A12 amendment. On to the A16 amendment. Representative Sensenmura, is that your amendment? Would you like to move it and speak to it?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. So I spoke about this, I think, last week in committee, but, you know, we know that childcare is the workforce behind the workforce, and this amendment really seeks to uplift that by providing our childcare workers with free or subsidized childcare. You know, I think the fact that we have members who are working in our childcare system that also qualify to be on the waiting list for early learning scholarships, meaning, you know, that they are below the poverty line, I think that says something, right? That says something that we have so many people who are caring for our children that they themselves cannot afford to pay for childcare. So this program would take $1 million and fund free or partially subsidized childcare for individuals who regularly care for children or are essential to a licensed childcare or family childcare center and are also on a waiting list for early learning scholarships. I did present this bill in the workforce committee because I believe that, you know, workforce, I think, has a role to play in this. You know, I understand at this time, given the limited funds, and this was not part of the formal agreement between our chairs, so I will go ahead and withdraw it, but I do think we need to continue to think creatively about how we support our childcare workers who are doing the essential work of caring for the youngest and most vulnerable in our community. And I think that thinking about, you know, providing them with free or reduced childcare is an idea that is worth exploring at some committee in the legislature. So I will withdraw with the hopes that this can make it maybe further within the workforce committee. Thank you, Chair.
Further discussion, Chair Katiza-Watun.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Sensenmura, for bringing this amendment forward. I think, again, it's worthy of the discussion and consideration of this committee. I think that something else that's kind of floating through the advocacy community is also potentially including our childcare providers in prioritizing where our childcare providers are on the scholarships and CCAP waiting list, such that, you know, they qualify most oftentimes because they are making very low wages in the industry. And if they, you know, if we could consider potentially going forward, moving them up so that they can continue providing the care for all of our other children, but just make sure that, you know, they can afford to continue to offer that service. So I think it's definitely worthy of continued discussion, and appreciate you bringing this idea forward.
So technically speaking, the amendment has been withdrawn, but I recognize Chair Katizawatun, so I assume I can recognize Chair West to discuss it further, having already been withdrawn, though.
Right. Well, the reason we bring amendments and withdraw them is so we can discuss them just briefly. And this is an interesting idea. It's kind of in the same vein as the Great Start Compensation Program. One, I like just spitballing as I see it, is I would say we want to encourage our child care providers to offer something, some benefit like this to those in their workforce, in their facilities. One perverse incentive we do have when it comes to CCAP is if somebody's income rises too much, if they're taking care of their own child at a provider, the provider has an interest in keeping their wages below CCAP level if they're getting CCAP for their child. So to address those kind of things, I think this is an area to look at because we want to, I think one of the best benefits you could possibly have is having free child care from your employer if they could afford to give it to you, and exploring ways to do that is something that is of interest. Particularly, I think, in the same vein that was it Representative Nadeau's property tax exemption for family care, I was thinking, why just family care on that one? Thinking of incentive structures for providers to offer this so that they don't have to rely on CCAP funding to provide this low cost or free child care to their workers. But then CCAP can go to pay for others who would need it, and there's no incentive for keeping a wage below a certain threshold. And I actually came across this issue because while I was looking my bill on the million or more CCAP camera bill, 1916, looked at all these centers, and then I'm like, why are some of these centers not taking Great Start Compensation Program, but they're taking over $1 million worth of CCAP? And that's what led me to, there's actually an incentive for them to keep their wages low, even to the point to where, and this may not be what they're doing, but even to the point to where they wouldn't engage in the Great Start Compensation Program because that might lift their wages above it and then they no longer qualify. So there's some, or qualify less, it's a sliding scale. So there is something to look at in this space that I do appreciate about this amendment.
The A16 having been withdrawn, we move on to the A17. Representative Hansen, to your amendment, would you like to move it and speak to it?
Yes, please, Chair. I will go ahead and speak to it. So the A17 amendment seeks to insert Representative Cedric Frazier's bill into our bill. This is a program that youth brought forward. And I think that on this committee especially, I've talked about this before, I think it's really important that when youth come together and recommend something to us that we take it into consideration. So I won't belabor the point. We all heard the bill, but I think that it's something worth discussing. Thanks, Chair.
Any further discussion? Representative or Chair West.
Well, you're going to get tired of hearing this. Not in the signed agreement, which we have negotiated. So regardless of the merits of said amendment, I would encourage members not to support the amendment. But it is certainly something that we can explore at a future time.
Any further discussion? Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Chair. And I would encourage a yes vote on this. Like I said, I think it's really important when kids get the guts to come before our body and talk about something that we give them a shot to have something happen with this. Thank you.
Representative Hansen renews her motion for the amendment. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say nay.
No.
The amendment does not pass. It is not adopted. On to the A18 amendment. Representative Hansen, would you like to move and speak to that amendment?
Thank you. I do move the A18 amendment. And this amendment would just make sure that we put some money into the diaper distribution grant. I think we heard a lot of testimony when Representative Hicks presented this bill. I think it's important that we at least talk about it and let folks know that we do support this and we would like to see this in the bill if possible. Thanks, Chair.
Any discussion to the amendment? Chair West.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This amendment was not in the agreement between Chair Katizawatun and I, so regardless of its merits, I would encourage members not to support the amendment.
I recognize Chair Katizawatun.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Hansen, and thank you, Representative Hicks, for bringing the original proposal before the body.
I think that one of the things that we have to consider is just how critical diapers are for raising children. The testifiers originally spoke about how people were running low and running out, and this is something that actually our food shelves have spoken about. I know that my local food shelf keeps a running tally of the different sizes of diapers that they have in stock, and those boards get cleared out on an hourly basis almost. And so I think that this is just a really important thing to consider. If we are able to reach agreement on this, it's definitely a worthy use of our money to make sure that kids have dry bottoms, that they can learn and play and grow, and parents don't have to struggle to pay for those items. So I'm willing to support it if we can reach a consensus.
Any further discussion to the amendment? Seeing none, Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Chair. I would ask for a yes vote, members.
All those in favor of the amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say nay.
No.
Does not prevail. We will move on now to the A19 amendment. Representative Hansen, it's my understanding that this is also your amendment. Would you like to move it and speak to it?
Thank you, Chair. I move the A19 amendment. And I want to start by recognizing how many stories came forward and how many tears have been shed and how deeply I feel like nobody ever should have to deal with this. And the reality is that folks do, and that means that the reality is that our body must also address it. I think it's really important to recognize the testimonies that we heard yesterday were pretty clear that there was still some concern about putting these into all of our child care centers, and that's valid. And we also heard testimony that said people want more of these in child care centers, and I think that's also valid. And so in an effort to try to make sure we get this right, we don't overshoot or undershoot on how to do this as best as we can with the most integrity and the right professionals, really hammering out all of the possible details with more time than what the legislative session allows us to do, the A19 amendment would assemble a task force to determine how we should, one, improve our child care system and the licensing systems to determine if there's some more we can do to better protect children in our licensing systems, but then also to really thread the needle on how do we store this data? How do we do honest, ethical, proper cybersecurity measures around this? And I think that's best done by having some folks take some more time to sit down and do that. This is not something we can afford to get wrong. And I've said in this committee before that when we mess up, really terrible things can happen to the littles that we all love the absolute most. And I recognize how hard it is to come to the legislature and advocate for something that hits our hearts as deep as this does, like Chair West has done and so many others have come forward to testify on. I think that is what makes this legislature the best place to do this work, because we all bring our hearts to it. I don't think this place would be what it is without that. And so I really want to thank everybody who has poured their heart into this work. And this is me pouring my heart into this, because we know that there's some concerns on the other body about whether or not this is feasible. And I would like to do what I can to make sure that we don't leave this session empty-handed. And I think it's important that we put on the table something that has a chance to potentially at least stand through negotiations, and that we get a chance to stand up together, as this committee has done over and over, on issues that we all really care about. And I think this committee is a shining light in the legislature for how to do this work together. We've not been hyper-partisan. We've not been mean to each other. We have been understanding. We've been compassionate. We've been trauma-focused and trauma-centered. And I think that's what we ought to bring into negotiations. And knowing what we know of what's going on over there, I don't want to see this just turn to dust. So I wanted to put forward a measure that I thought would, you know, perhaps be more palpable and would perhaps give us a chance to continue the work that families came before us and shared their tears and shared their stories with us in an effort to try to change the world that they live in and to make the world a better place one legislative piece at a time. And so this task force would assemble folks that have cybersecurity experience, that have experience with the risks associated with surveilling children and the storage of that data. It gives parents the loudest voice. With four parents, we could always change it to more, who have had their children go through this atrocious experience and that they themselves have had to watch their children suffer through. It makes sure that we include this body and the other body, that we include the department, both from someone in the licensing division and in child protection, and that we make sure we include an attorney who's got some experience with civil liberties and workers' rights as well. And so what I've laid out here is a framework. It's probably not perfect, I will admit, but I wanted to open this discussion given that we had over 40 letters submitted to us asking us to be concerned about what was in the bill before. So that's what I put before you, and I hope we can continue the conversation on this as we have for the prior several weeks in this committee with the integrity and the protection that our children need us to keep in mind. Thank you, Chair.
Any further discussion on the amendment? Representative McDonald, and then we'll go to Representative Hemington-Yeager.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Hansen, thank you for including in your dialogue to open up for discussion. And it's very worthy. A lot of these amendments are very, very important issues to this committee. But my observation after being, and I hate to always say this, and I'm not going to always say that, but for being here as long as I had, I came in as the majority, then minority, then majority, majority, then minority, 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 tie. So I'm all aware of amendments. Now, we have an opportunity here. We had an opportunity. The bill was passed. It was agreed upon by Chair Khadija Batoon and Chair West. They had an agreement. I saw the picture. Nolan was smiling. Representative Khadija Batoon was smiling. Much like the Legacy Committee, Chair Vang and I, we came to a conclusion. We worked hard over the weekend. We passed our bill off the committee floor today. No amendments except for technical ones because we have an opportunity to work together. Now, when my father was here in 1979 and served during the tie, it was a mess. If you do your little history and read the books, it was a mess. It wasn't good. It didn't work. So far, we're working pretty darn good. And this committee, especially being new to it, we do work well. It's like the legacy. We all kind of like each other, and we're working on very important issues. We're not really, there's no agitation necessarily. It's good work. And you had good work, chairs. You did work hard. Our committee administrators worked hard. You guys worked over the weekend. You had a handshake and a smile and a picture. And then something happened where the deal broke apart. So now we're trying to, befuddle the bill again with important amendments. But we have an opportunity to work hard, get our work done in a timely fashion, but all these amendments that weren't agreed upon is just messing up the process that we all agreed upon to begin with. If we want to get something done and do something good before May 19th and not have to go into a special session, because at that point, all of our people work. We all have other jobs and obligations, and it's going to be very tough. So my advice is just to not accept the amendments unless it's a technical amendment or if the amendment that is on today was agreed upon by Chair Khadija Batoon and Chair Nolan West, then those amendments I would support. But that's my opinion. That's what I think. We have an opportunity to, like the Childs and Family, like Legacy, get bills done and signed off and sent to Ways and Means. And that's my 2 cents. That's all. That's all I offer. Important amendment, Representative Hansen. We talked about issues. They're very important, but we need to stick to the deal so we can do good work, get out of here on time, and balance the budget. Mr. Chair, thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Hemington-Yeager.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would just like to thank Representative Hansen for bringing this forward. I was very impressed how you were able to kind of take so much information and be able to craft something that I feel is actually very thoughtful. Part of what got me into this role was working in genetics. I saw the technology going very, very quickly, and the laws were not keeping up. I see that now with AI, with cybersecurity, and we keep talking about wanting to get it right, and I think this is an excellent way to get it right. It focuses on children. So, the first thing in there is a cybersecurity expert with experience in surveilling children as well as their safe storage. And I think it's also important to note that parents also have a strong voice. So I encourage members to to vote yes on this amendment, just because this task force, I think, is really going to do a good job of blending what we need to protect our kids from multiple different perspectives.
Further discussion, Representative Zalesnikar.
Thank you, chairs. And I think that it's important that we move forward as the bill was intended on this situation of cameras. I mean, we heard some horrific stories, without a doubt. And I think there's over 98 kids that have had abuse, broken bones. These are infants. These are toddlers. This is absolutely devastating to even think that we have that going on at double-digit numbers, close to 100 of investigations in the state of Minnesota. And so a task force will not help these children be protected. And while cameras don't do everything, they at least solve a lot of the situations that we talked about. So for that reason, I would be against a task force at this moment. Thank you.
Any further discussion to the amendment? Chair West.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Hansen, for this amendment. I believe it was brought in good faith. You even left half the money in the child care technology grants, unlike some of those other amendments. This was not in the signed agreement between me and Chair Gatizabatun, so I'd urge members not to support it. One thing I've seen about task forces in the legislature is they are usually a performance in futility. They talk and talk and talk and talk, and even sometimes they even come up with recommendations. But as we know frequently in this building, people are not always able to be convinced with, you know, whatever study or whatever is presented by this committee. They just are grounded in what they think is right and or wrong. And with this camera bill, I have taken extensive testimony, and especially yesterday was illustrative, as we had many people in support and many people against. I have had listening sessions. I've made many compromises, which I never wanted to make, but within the interest of moving the ball down the field. It's a shame that our hearing, I probably made a miscalculation of priorities with when this bill was heard. We had to kind of jam it in, and that was my scheduling fault. It would have been better to have a more robust discussion like we did yesterday. But with task force, it's just kicking the can down the field while giving the appearance of addressing the issues. And what I would encourage going forward is in no way is the A2, the camera bill set in stone. It is something we can all work on and improve. And I think there are a couple things that were said yesterday by concerned providers. The vast majority had heard many times, but there were some things said yesterday that I think are worthy of implementation. For example, the provider who said they have cameras but they don't qualify. The requirements I put in the bill were so low you can't buy cameras below those requirements that were listed in the bill. However, I guess somebody might have 10-year-old cameras. So it's like, well, there was no intention of punishing people who I believe are doing the right thing, so we could work on those things and refine it. And our committee can get there, but I would rather continue moving it down the field. One, because you never know when your opinion counts in this body, and I do not have immense faith that somebody would approach this issue with the same passion and gusto which I do. And two, things don't happen here. Like, the idea that everything needs to have absolute consensus clearly is not how this place is run. That would have been great if that was the mindset last session. That would have been absolutely fantastic. But frequently, what we do is work on things to try and make them function and provide the results that we desire. But we have to consider both those pushing it and their goals, as well as those affected. And we are very close, if not there, with the present bill. And the task force would merely explore things that we have already explored, and then its results would still not necessarily be accepted or considered, because we should be making these laws within our committee structure, and you know, having legislators engage in the work of the task force like I did by consulting people. And I am kind of a cybersecurity expert. I'm a massive nerd, used to work for Geek Squad. So anyways, getting off topic, this particular amendment was not in the agreement that we reached on Friday, so I would urge members not to support it, but I appreciate Vice Chair Hansen bringing the amendment in good faith.
Any further discussion to the amendment? Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Chair. And I just want to be really clear, I don't disagree with the fact that, you know, folks want cameras. I think that's important. I also heard a lot of the conversation saying, I guess what I kind of extrapolated from a lot of it is that there's a lot of issues with the ways that our justice system handles heinous crimes like this. And I want to go on the record and say that I volunteer as tribute to be on that team, please, when that work comes before us, because I agree that that is critically important. I've talked a lot about, you know, different things with child sexual abuse and, you know, different things in our foster care system that I am here to protect kids. That's one of my legislative responsibilities as far as I'm concerned. So I would agree that we definitely need to do more work on making sure that the monsters that hurt our children are held accountable and that justice is delivered. And I want to also say that I'm not disagreeing that, again, that cameras should be there, and I'm not kicking the can down the road. What I'm trying to do is make sure that we leave this session with something. Because, again, the vibe in the Senate is that, and I know we're not supposed to talk about the evil other body, but it's not looking bright over there. And I've done a lot of work across the aisle and across, you know, bicamerally as well to get big things across the finish line. And so, you know, I looked over there to see kind of what was going on, and it's bleak. And I care about you, Chair West, and I care about what your family went through and all the families that came here. And again, this is my effort to try to put something more palatable on the table that we can discuss with the other body. You know, we'll talk about the other amendment in a second, but as is, you know, that language wasn't loved. So I am concerned, and I don't think you deserve to leave this session with nothing. And I want to be on that team to help you get something, and all of us that have worked so hard on this and all the families who came forward, so that nobody sat in front of the public and shed tears in vain. That's why I have this amendment before us. So we can edit it. We can put, you know, something like making sure we had, like we had talked about before, keeping the footage for longer. I'm obviously open to that. I think that was always in the agreement. And making sure that we can, you know, address some of the things that are happening for the folks that already have cameras. But as in terms of going forward and how do we really lock in that language, I just think it's important that we have continued conversation. And so in the interest of making sure that nobody came to this body in vain and shared their trauma with us, I would ask you to please, please consider supporting this amendment so we can leave this session with something. Thank you.
Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor of the amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
No.
The motion does not prevail. We will go on to the A2 amendment. Now, it is my understanding that this was in the original agreement, and as a result, I will move the A2 amendment. Representative West, to the amendment, you had some discussion comments you'd like to make.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The A2 amendment restores the underlying DE to the previous signed agreement between Chair Katiza Watun and I. I've also included bit of extra effort that I did. I also wrote up sample templates for the written requirements, but I left those in my office. But if you look at the handout here, what we heard a lot primarily yesterday was about the cost. And as a good Republican, I am very concerned about the costs that this might impose on small businesses. So any center that would have to implement this, it requires cameras in your designated toddler and designated infant room now and outside covering the playground. One thing is the playgrounds are already covered by cameras in the vast majority of centers, as are the parking lots, which aren't included here, but you might ask yourself, why does almost every single center there is have cameras on their parking lots and playgrounds, but not cameras within their rooms? And that is because they are trying to protect themselves from liability and get to the bottom of it. And I do not blame them for doing so. They really should, which is the same reason why we should have cameras in infant rooms and toddler rooms. So one thing that happens is a family brings in, you know, actually this is what I do all the time. When I walk out of my car and go into the daycare, I throw my child up in the air as high as I can, grab her, spin her around, grab her by her legs, turn her upside down, and tickle her. God forbid I would ever drop her, but if I did, the daycare would have footage, even though my daycare, where my beautiful daughter goes, does not have cameras in their rooms. So I talk with the providers who do not have cameras all the time and every single day for the last week in particular because of this conversation. So to address some of the concerns that we heard yesterday, I compiled some options that people can use if this were to become a law. And what you will see is that this is for a 5-camera setup. I learned from MCCA that the 5 cameras is kind of the average of what they would think would be needed. Many daycares or childcare facilities can get this done with 3 cameras. And I would say 2 cameras because they already cover the outdoors, as previously stated. And many centers, although I have no idea how many, but I know many, have cameras within their rooms already. So this additional camera would not be additional cost. So you'll see the highest thing is the initial costs here. You're talking, you know, about like $1,500, and on the very highest 5-camera setups, $4,000 in the first year. Now, I do not just shake off $4,000. That is why there is a grant program within the bill to provide additional funding should a center need it. But that is a one-time cost. The long-term costs are the data storage. Originally, the bill had 90 days of data retention. And when I was passionate, as you know, and working on this, and then I started looking at the costs, I went, oh, crap. 90 days of storage is really expensive. And then I kept on exploring ways, how can we get to 90 days? How can we get to 90 days? I could not find an option that was really less than like $1,200+ a year for just the cloud storage of the data. And if they wanted to locally store it, it was even more. So we went down to 60 days. Now, 60 days, there are many, many, many high quality options. And in particular, if you look at this sheet, I included 3 options at the very end for cameras that for businesses that literally what they do is install cameras in daycares. That is their sole job. Watch Me Grow, ChildView, Daycare WebWatch. These are all companies that what they do is offer cameras for installation, professional installation, and cloud storage of the data. Although the ChildView website there is childview.com, not childviewinc.com. I don't know how that happened. So with those programs, you can see you can get this all done by one source for $3,000, $2,850, or $3,220. And that is for a 5-camera setup, which many centers wouldn't even need. So while I understand several thousand dollars of initial costs are concerning, that is why there is a grant program to help, particularly with the one-time expenses. The ongoing expenses of $500 to $600 a year are something that I think is well worth the accountability and protection that our cameras provide. We also heard that cameras don't necessarily prevent abuse, which is true, but there is a lot of research and data that when people know they are being monitored, they do behave differently. So the fact like that is, it's not going to prevent anything, but it definitely will adjust behavior in a positive way. And lastly, well, maybe not lastly, I have a lot to say on this. There's a lot of protection we can offer the childcare providers themselves. In the same way that in more cases than not, the new body cam mandate on police officers results in far more police being exonerated of anything, any allegations of misconduct in their situations. This also will ensure that providers aren't unjustly and wrongly accused of something they did not do. The problem is, without video footage, we do not get justice for our families. We do not get justice for these children. The perpetrators are complete, like, It is incredibly difficult even to advance to the point of having a serious charge. And even when you advance to a serious charge, it is incredibly difficult to get a conviction. In the Small World case, there were 5 charged felonies, one of them for my daughter, and one of them for a fractured leg with documentation from a doctor, and basically certainly happened within this daycare facility. However, those felonies, which I understand why they weren't, like, I'm not saying they should have been brought, because we did not have the evidence to prove in criminal court. And thank God our criminal courts require a high bar of evidence, but having a high bar of evidence means we need to provide, at least give the option for that evidence to provide it. In the Little Explorers case in Plymouth, that happened much more recently than my daughter's case, the teacher threw the child into the table, and the only reason that was discovered is because another teacher was recording it on her phone camera. Now, we don't know what kind of charges or anything that would amount over there. There is an investigation ongoing, but without video footage, that child would have no protection. That teacher would still be there, and that is wrong. We cannot allow the present situation to continue if we can help it. I understand the desire for choice and options, because some people don't like their children monitored. I totally get that. Well, actually, no, I don't understand it at all, but I respect that, and that is why it is located on centers. Focus specifically on centers. The other reason is centers, even when we get to a maltreatment situation and a maltreatment finding and a violation, the center fires the employee, maybe pays the fine, and moves on with their day. I mean, it's not particularly nice for the center, and no center wants this to happen, obviously, and they all do very good work 99.9999% of the time, except for these very rare circumstances. This is a way we can ensure that the centers are not unjustly impugned when they can show what happened with video footage. Because without video footage, parents don't know, and even the director doesn't necessarily know. Now, as far as adding additional ongoing costs, there's a thought of, well, they have to maintain with this data retention, they have to say who accesses and doesn't have access to this footage, and then they have to provide evidence when they log it when people have access, so people know who has access to their children's video footage. That is, Minnesota's has very intense privacy laws, so this was something that needed to be put in the bill. That is why I included at the end of this my packet covering the costs, is that these childcare businesses that operate in this space literally include that in their software, this logging system, so we can make sure that this is done properly. It's not something that's going to add an extra burden if they just select the right software, which is included in the yearly cost that we were talking about of $600 or less a year. So, I am happy to continue working on this, and I take seriously, I wish we had a broader discussion when it first was brought before the committee. And there are some areas we don't allow amendments to amendments today, specifically, but it's something we can work on when this is included in the bill, is the couple comments from yesterday that were valid, because we don't want to create a burden that is insurmountable. I probably covered it, I think.
Any further discussion to the amendment, Representative Sensenmiller?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Chair West, for all the work that you have done on this. I don't know if everyone on this committee is a parent. I think a lot of us are parents, and I don't know about you all, but I think that becoming a parent is the scariest thing that I have ever done. And when I came into this committee, I came because I really care about giving all of our kids a great start, and the issue that really brought me here was childcare, and just knowing that our childcare industry needs support, is very under-resourced, and we know how important it is to support our youngest Minnesotans. I wasn't expecting child abuse to be such a huge issue, and especially child abuse in child care centers. I was not expecting that to be such a huge part of the work that we are doing this year. And, you know, obviously, Chair West, given what your family went through, I think it makes a lot of sense. And thank you for bringing to light a bigger issue than I knew. You know, it's already scary to leave someone, to leave your kid with someone. It's really scary to leave your kid when they're really little with someone. And so knowing that there is abuse happening to children as young as 3 months is unimaginable. I decided to speak up today because I cannot vote for this amendment as it is, and I wanted to say why. If I felt like cameras could keep our kids safe, I would vote for this amendment. I think if I would do anything, any amount of money that we can get, and I, you know, globally, I wish there was a lot more funding within this because I believe what could actually keep our kids safe is more resources, right? When I think about the analogy to police who wear body cameras, and that's obviously not non-controversial, right? People have a lot of feelings about that. But I think about the fact that in Minneapolis, where I live, a starting policeman's salary or police person's salary is $90,000, and the average for a child care worker is $35,000, right? I find it hard to compare those, even though I think their jobs are equally as important, right? Police have weapons that can kill people, and so they have a lot of responsibility, and with that should come a lot of accountability. Child care workers are taking care of our youngest Minnesotans. People are leaving their kids with them, and kids are being abused. And so that is a huge, huge responsibility that they are taking on. And I do believe they should have a lot of accountability. I think I struggle with the fact that we as a society have not decided to give them that same level of resources or support. We just don't. And our budget targets are not allowing the budget targets, the financial situation that we have in Minnesota, you know, the horror that is coming down from the federal government on the social safety net that we have is not going to allow us to put more into this critical industry. And so I find it really hard. And, you know, and I sat in a room last week with, you know, 15 childcare workers, you know, and we were talking in depth about this proposal, both about, like, how would this actually work operationally? What would some of the challenges be? But also, like, what would this mean to you as someone who has already made so many sacrifices to be in this role? And really what I heard from them was, you know, they are so beat down already, right? They are so beat down with how little they make and all the sacrifices. And then to say, you know, we are going to put this burden on you that we put in very few professions, already, you know, showing that we don't trust you. And then not give you the resources and support to back that up. And the fact that we don't have the data that this can actually keep our kids safer, I just find it really, really hard to vote for this amendment today. And I feel really deeply sorry, Chair West, that I cannot vote for this, but I just felt like I had to share that. Thank you.
Further discussion, I recognize Representative McNaughton.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Sensenmayer says she doesn't think cameras can keep our kids safe. As a photographer and videographer, as is Chair Nolan West, they do. End of story. If workers at a child care facility know the camera is filming them, they will keep kids safe. They will know any perpetrator, any evil individual who's doing these evil deeds will think twice about any evil deeds to our children. Now, that said, and first of all, it's Chair Nolan West, you were very generous with your bill. I wouldn't have given the money, and here's why. And the daycare centers do good work, child care centers. But remember, folks, we are the seventh highest expense for daycare in the country. Someone's making money. Someone's doing it. $20,000 for a child, $14,000 for Lizzie, $20,000 a year for an infant, $14,500. Someone's making money, folks. So they don't need the money for a camera. And cameras aren't that expensive. It's a minuscule for these facilities. I know I see some of them in our districts. They're big buildings. Our one in Delano just added on a whole new wing. They don't do that if they're not making money. But the greater thing is, Representative Katizo-Watun, is this. We did the work here in the committee, every one of us. It's our committee. It's Chair West, number one priority. And it was agreed upon, every one of us, Democrats and Republicans. his number one priority, and what is done, taken out by leadership from the Democrats. And I'm sure, Chair, I hope that Chair Katiza Batun was fighting for it, because it's your committee too. And it's not appropriate, in my opinion, as a chair, as a first-year chair, that a chair gets some priority of a very important issue, especially what happened to he and his wife's child. Especially. If anything, let's pass it out of this committee, because it's our committee. We worked hard. It's our committee. If they want to take it out in the conference committee, so be it. It is what it is. It's out of our hands. Well, not really, because Chair West and Chair Katiza Batun will be there. But out of the respect for our chair members, for what he was gone through and others have gone through in suffering their children's harm, out of that respect, I think we should keep this bill, adopt this amendment, and pass it off throughout this committee. For two reasons. One, to keep our children safe, first and foremost, because it'll do that. It's a minimal cost. And three, the respect for our chair, who's number one priority. I can't imagine. I had one little priority in the legacy, and I was easily to take it out. But I was told over and over by my friends on both sides of the aisle, a chair should get something that's priority, something that does good for our state. And this does great. This will do great things for our safety of our children.
Chair Katiza Batun.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I was not going to speak until closing here, but I just want to clarify for everyone on the committee. It's kind of been stated over and over again, insinuated that this was in our final agreement. The document that we all have in front of us is a signed fiscal agreement. We have $500,000 in the agreement for House File 1915. We have almost the entire text of House File 1915 in the delete all amendment. The only thing that is missing is the mandate portion. And this is a really, you know, unique experience, I think, for all of us coming to this legislature. For those of us, and all of us in this room, have been here before in a minority or a majority situation, and none of us have been here in a tie. And both Chair West and I have never had gavels before. It's something that, you know, it's really difficult. I think the public, I at least hear a lot from people, why do you want to do this job? How can you do this job? And it's because we all bring something really special, our own lived experience, our own perspective. And when I first ran for office in 2018, I felt really strongly that the balance of the legislature was still really heavily weighted to people who whose kids are grown, who didn't have kids, who may be grandparents. And like Representative Sensenmiro was saying, things have changed so much over the generations and how things are set up right now. Something that that we never expect as parents, that we pray for, that we hope for, happened to Chair Weston, his family, and to so many of the families who came to testify before us over the last days and weeks. And I think that we are honoring that by having these discussions and moving forward with the camera storage requirement, right? This mandate does not include family child care centers. I understand that Chair West spoke to that a little bit before of his reasoning, but when you look at the data, and if we make our decisions based on data and not emotion, which can be really challenging and hard, abuse is more prevalent in home child care centers where there is only a sole child care provider. And so if we are saying that cameras do keep kids safe, we need to have cameras in family child care centers. And we all know that if family child care centers were included in this bill, not a one of us could vote for it. Not a one of us. Because this will put people out of business. the cost of this, the requirements on the invasion for family privacy in their own home. We are doing what we can agree on to take to conference to continue the movement and the video storage requirement, I think, is so critical based on what happened, particularly in the center where Chair West's daughter was present, and that this will allow them to do a 60-day look back and at least have a little bit more time. He spoke to the cost of the 90-day look back. I think that we can still work on that. We've put $500,000 into the IT technology fund or technology improvement fund so that child care centers who have been probably waiting and looking for ways that they can include cameras into their business. I know for a fact that there are people who have wanted to do this and haven't had the money to do this. So this allows other centers who couldn't afford it to begin that implementation. And the language then states, if you have cameras in your center, this is the format and this is the framework that you need to work within. So I think that, you know, this is a really, really good step in the right direction. We still have time to work on it. It's not a task force. It puts the structure of this in place. It does allow us to come back over next year, potentially have an informational hearing, potentially bring in some of those cybersecurity experts that Representative Hansen suggested that we include on a task force and continue working on this. But I think right now, you know, this section of the bill itself is a compromise, but the whole bill is a compromise too, because that's the reality of this session. And I think that all of the work that we have done so carefully and courageously, honestly, in this committee, I mean, we hear a lot of difficult life situations from so many people. And it takes a lot for us to come to this table and make decisions based on what we think would be the best for all Minnesotans. But I think that, you know, back in 2019, when I was in my first term and Chair West was in his second term, we were on the Early Childhood Education Committee together. One day we walked over to the Capitol to get some food, and we get into the Rathskeller. He pats his pocket and said, "I don't have my wallet." And he's like, "I got to go back." And so he turned around and walked back to the SOB. And I was like, "Oh man, that guy hates me. He doesn't want to have lunch with me. He made up the fact that he left his wallet in the SOB just so that he didn't have to break bread with me." And I think I'm so grateful that we have had this chance to work together, Chair West. And I hope that that you feel as I do that we have developed a strong working relationship and a level of trust. And I want to make sure, and I will say it on the public record, that I commit to you to continue working on this bill with you, because you are doing such a hard job. It's hard to be a parent. It's even harder to bring that experience to the table and do everything you can, you know, put your life on the line, put your life on the public record. And I think that you've done it. You've done so much due diligence on this. I just can't in good conscience vote for it, because I don't think a mandate is ready at this point in time. And I want to move forward with what the rest of the bill is and the money, so that people can invest in this and then we can, you know, continue the work to potentially get to where we need to be going forward. So I appreciate that.
Further discussion of the A2 amendment. Recognize Representative Hicks.
Thank you. And thank you for that, both chairs. Actually, thank both of you for this whole committee, this whole session. I heard some other folks talk about they didn't expect to be talking about child abuse. I did. I always expect to be talking about child abuse. It's kind of become a thing in my life. I sort of am always expecting to hear a horrific story about something that happened to a child or a person with a disability, because it is happening all the time. And I am comfortable with the current DE and the requirements that are in there to start us down that journey. I am nervous about a mandate. And my concern about a mandate is probably from a different place than others. My concern about a mandate is that the way that the footage is being stored in some of the pieces make me very nervous as someone who has found pictures on the dark web of people they love as children. I am very nervous about the language. I maintain being very, very nervous about the language. Because even when we are doing what we think is best, and even when we have our best interests at heart, when we are talking about some of these pieces, if we get it wrong, it gets really scary really fast. But a lot of our centers have cameras, and I appreciate that. And as a parent, that's probably the one I would pick. And I think they should store the footage. I think it's, I don't know how it's helpful if they don't store the footage. I'm not sure that we're there, but I don't think we can't get there. But I am afraid that if we accept this amendment and mandate it across centers, that centers, particularly those in Greater Minnesota, who don't have legal fees, who aren't large corporations, who don't have a lawyer on staff, aren't going to know how to navigate the storage. They aren't going to know how to navigate the privacy. They aren't going to know how to not step in this. And I'm not ready to say all centers have to have it, because I'm not sure all centers are ready to figure out how to do it. I think we can get there. I think these pieces, these requirements for those that are choosing to have it, are a good start. I think having the conversations and moving forward with something is a good start. But I am really afraid of a small center in Greater Minnesota that only has two or three classrooms and doesn't have a lawyer on staff, only employs 20 people or 15 people and doesn't know how to do this, that they'll get the money for the cameras and they'll buy the cameras and they'll follow the directions the best they can. And as soon as something goes sideways, they won't know how to respond. As soon as there's a privacy concern from another parent, as soon as someone leaks a picture, as soon as a camera is positioned in the wrong place, as all of the things that haven't been thought out yet, and all the things I haven't thought of, and that those of us around the table haven't thought of, and that our childcare providers have shared bits but haven't fully thought through, all of those things make me very nervous to put any more mandates on our childcare providers, even with the best intention, because I'm very afraid that we will lose them, and I can't afford to lose any more in Greater Minnesota. I am committed, though, to coming up with a solution. I am committed to trying to support all of our families and all of our children. But I want to do that from a place that's going to work for everyone and not from a place that is potentially going to do the opposite of what we're going for in this committee as a whole, which is support childcare. So I'm going to be a no on the amendment. But I want to be really clear, it's not because I fundamentally disagree with the concept. It's that I'm not sure we're there yet, and I'm not sure we have the resources to support our smaller centers to do this in a way that won't just shut them down.
Any further discussion to the amendment? I recognize Representative Coulter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I had initially sort of gotten on the list to try and bring down the temperature a little bit, and I recognize historically I've not been very good at that in this committee, so I'm going to redouble my efforts. I think it is important to name I think what folks have really already said, which is that this is obviously a very deeply personal and emotional issue for all of us. And, you know, I have heard from parents and providers who support and who oppose the mandate aspect of this, including the parent whose opinion means the most to me, the one that I live with every single day. And I don't think there are wrong opinions on this. I don't think there are invalid perspectives on this. I think, you know, we all come to this space as the sum of who we are, of what we have lived through and who has influenced our lives. And so as I have taken all of that in, that has reinforced for me why I believe that the language that is in the bill currently is the best approach for now. I think the standards on data retention are important. I think grants as an incentive are a good thing. And I think the language as it stands right now ensures that providers and most importantly, parents have a choice in the environment in which their littles are taken care of. And you know, it's a remarkable thing, becoming a parent. I'm obviously biased, but I think it's especially remarkable when you're a dad of daughters. And because in an instant, nothing in the whole world, in the whole universe, nothing is more important to you than being a good parent. And that's something I struggle with every single day. Lord knows working in this place doesn't make that any easier. And I think we just need to remember that we all come to this discussion from that place. And that's why, like I said, I think we need to move forward with the language as it's in the bill. Thank you.
Further discussion to the A2 amendment, I recognize Representative Altendorf.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Chair West, for bringing this. And, you know, just for the committee, you know, we're talking about safety, and we're also talking about accountability. When we heard the testifiers, many of them, they said that they were not able to bring charges because of the lack of video evidence. And that is a real problem, that we have people who are potentially working in daycare centers and they don't know who to charge because they can't prove who did the abuse to the child. That is a real concern. That is what we heard testify members. We are so close to being there, but also I want to give kudos to Chair West, who I have seen him over the last few months just work diligently. And whenever an obstacle came up and it would be like the video and the cost to it, he has gone to great lengths, just great lengths, and spent hours and hours not to just get a bill passed, but to do it correctly. To do it correctly for Minnesota. So as we have seen testifier after testifier, we've unfortunately heard the stories, the traumatic stories. We've heard the abuse. And we have the opportunity to actually do something about that. Now, I know it was brought up about the cost of daycares in Minnesota. And I find this so ironic, because we keep on shifting the blame as if we're supposed to provide more revenue from the state of Minnesota to our daycares, when the problem why our daycare expenses are so high is this body right here. It's the laws passed here. It's the burdens that we have put on our daycares to the point of counting the number of toys, the inches of the table. Things that really, really, you could argue, don't matter. And this does. So please, members, I would ask for you to support something that we actually have the ability to protect children. Not to mandate all of these other things that are completely meaningless in our daycare centers, but this does mean something. Thank you.
Further discussion to the A2 amendment, I recognize Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Chair. I simply want to ask for a roll call on this vote, please.
Roll call has been requested, and there will be a roll call. Further discussion to the A2 amendment.
Chair West.
Wait. Oh. We're doing further discussion.
Sorry.
Chair West, I see no further discussion to the amendment. Would you like to close out this amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So in our discussions related to the greater bill, the idea of an opt-out was brought up, to which my exact words were, absolutely not, that's unacceptable. And which is, like, with that knowledge, I do believe that my co-chair probably did not intend to sign an agreement. So I don't think she intentionally did anything nefarious, that is the word. If there is no, if the bill isn't what at least I was agreeing to, it clearly means we need to work more on this particular bill. And by this particular bill, I don't just mean House File 1915. If you look at the underlying bill, it is suboptimal. So what I learned today is particularly a blanket mandate is a significant issue for the members. Cost was, but I think the cost concerns, which I sound like a Democrat saying this, small business cost concerns, it's not going to cost as much as you think. But like I said, I think it's always good when Republicans come with regulations and Democrats come with, deregulation. I think that strikes the right balance because both sides can get carried away when implementing their preferred policies. Also heard concerns about data retention or security. I think looking at it technically under this amendment/bill, they could store the data locally or via a cloud service. Either way, locally is pretty secure, but not incredibly secure. A cloud service is very, very secure, and you're unlikely to lose the data. I would entertain, and it's encrypted and it's stored on multiple servers and only can be accessed by the people who are supposed to access it, and it automatically logs it. Maybe we need to look at that, and we could. But I do not believe, the agreement that I signed my name to did not include the language in the DE. I mean, the governor's operating adjustment increases more money than we put towards early learning scholarships. There is things that, for example, just to color it, I know this is not particularly clear, but when we were starting to close out, the genius Mr. Berg found an extra $491,000, to which my response was, Chair Katiza Batun, go nuts, it's yours. I had no desire. I felt like we landed in a good policy place. That was with this in mind. And actually, where she decided to put it isn't too bad, so that isn't my specific concern, but just to give you an idea of the agreement to which I was signing. So we do have a committee scheduled tomorrow, and there is 1 minute left in our allotted time here. I have worked on another, on trying to refine this further, and I take your two concerns that were hammered in this committee very seriously. And I would prefer, I guess we can proceed to a vote on the amendment.
No further discussion. We'll take the roll on the amendment.
Chair West?
Aye.
Chair Katuza Watoon?
No.
Vice Chair Nelson? Vice Chair Hansen?
No.
Representative Altendorf?
Aye.
Representative Coulter?
No.
Representative Hemmingson Yeager?
No.
Representative Hicks?
No.
Representative McDonald?
Yes.
Representative Nadeau?
Yes.
Representative Olson?
Yes.
Representative Perez Vega?
No.
Representative Sensor Mura?
No.
Representative Zalesnikar?
There being seven yeses and seven noes, the motion does not prevail and the amendment is not adopted. Seeing, Mr. Chair, that we are currently over time and we have not completed our agenda, I would like to see your recommendations for how to move forward.
We should lay the bill over and take it up at our scheduled time tomorrow.
Chair Katuza Watoon, is that okay with you? All right, with that being said, the bill is laid over and the meeting is adjourned.